worthless load. So with a smile, a sigh and a quick goodbye, I'll lean and tell the barman, give us one more for the road.
Hello and welcome to this week's Daily Info Oxcast, your weekly podcast of all the best events happening in and around Oxford. And the bit of the track that you just heard, that was called One for the Road by Small and Gold, who are performing at the Folk Festival this weekend, which we'll be talking more about later. But Small and Gold are an Oxfordshire band, and they're playing at the Old Fire Station on Saturday, and we'll play a bit more of that track, One for the Road, later on in the Oxcast. This week I've got beer and bypass, hopefully not related.
We'll be talking about theatre and television.
But to start us off, we've got a few reminders. The wood competition is still running on our site. If you submit a caption to the picture that we've got of some badgers and bees, because this year is the year of the bee at Wood Festival, then you could win £150 worth of tickets to go camping over the weekend at Wood Festival. So get your captions in, have a look what's on there already, because there's a lot of similar ones coming up. People are thinking in the same punny way, I think. So have a look on the site first and then send us your captions. We always do start the Oxcast with our Oxford fact as well, which this week Emma's going to tell us.
So this week my fact is again about architecture. St Catherine's College was designed by the Danish architect Arne Jacobsen, who was responsible for the Egg Chair, the Swan Chair and the memorably named Series 7. And when he signed the contract for designing the college, he insisted on having complete authority over absolutely everything, right down to the species of fish in the pond, the design of the light fixtures, the cutlery, and even the door handles.
So those fish, that surely they've like died by now? Did he choose them again? I mean, when does this end?
I think he included a ratio for the different colours of fish.
Oh,
so
right.
When one dies, they have to replace
it
with... But interestingly, although he's remembered as a furniture designer, the egg chair is really his legacy. He wanted to be remembered as an architect. And so it's sort of quite similar to John Kellogg, who is remembered as the founder of Kellogg cereals and inventor of the cornflake. But in reality, he wanted to be remembered as a theologian and a medical surgeon.
I mean, you would, though, wouldn't you? If your legacy was called the egg chair, you'd probably want your other attributes to be remembered.
Well, the thing is, a lot of his buildings aren't very attractive. He designed quite large swathes of Copenhagen, and they're just boxes, really.
And those chairs aren't very comfortable anyway, so...
Well, he was sort of one of the fathers of ergonomics, so they're supposed to be comfortable.
Oh, well, maybe it's just me then. Anyway, that's our Oxford fact this week. Thanks, Emma. Another quick reminder, and then we will get on to the events this week. Marmalade Conference is still running until Friday. We have an interview with one of the organisers, Ben Metz, which you can listen to in last week's Oxcast or the long cut in the Oxcast Extra channel. And then look out for the events that are still going on, like the future of work and the purpose economy, and The Tipping Point, which is about economic trends. So there's lots of interesting things about social entrepreneurship and similar things going on, mainly at the Old Fire Station for the rest of this week. But let's start off with the events then, and let's start with something at the Oxford Playhouse.
Yes, until the 18th of April, you can see Tom Stoppard's Arcadia, his Olivier Award-winning play set in two time periods. It's a tale of maths, physics, duels and gardening, split between the early 19th and late 20th centuries. Written in 1993, it falls into Stoppard's canon just in between Hapgood and Indian Ink, and it's what a lot of people associate with Tom Stoppard, so lots of wit and intellect and tricks with language and enormous ideas. Unlike Stoppard's earlier forays into surrealism, like After Magritte and, to a lesser extent, The Real Inspector Hound, Arcadia's quite natural. Naturalistic, so it's dialogue that you would expect in situations that are logical. This particular production is brought by the English Touring Theatre, who recently brought productions of Translations and The Misanthrope, and this particular production is directed by Blanche McIntyre. So to recap, Arcadia's on at the Oxford Playhouse until Saturday, 7:30 evening performances with a 2:30 matinee on both Thursday and Saturday. And if you want to see even more Stoppard, you can catch his latest work, The Hard Problem, broadcast as part of NT Live. So that's on this Thursday at 7 p.m. at the Odeon George Street, Phoenix Picture House and View. And if, like me, you're busy on Thursdays, it's also being broadcast as an NT Encore at 12 noon at the Phoenix on Tuesday.
And if you want to read a review of Arcadia as well, we have one on our site from this Monday of this production. And also on that same page, you can see reviews from basically each year that Arcadia has come to Oxford, because it seems to come like every year or every couple of years. So there's quite a few reviews that you can read on there if you'd like to.
interesting, there's also quite neat alternation between professionals productions and student productions.
Okay. So. But for something very different now, as the sun is out, why not have a beer festival? There's a beer festival at the library. That's the library pub, of course, on Cali Road, not the actual library. It starts on Thursday and it's running until Sunday. It's mainly going to be from like 4 p.m. till kind of closing time. Although on Friday, they're actually going to have the Camden Town Brewery down at 1 p.m. And I think there's going to be some free beers going then. So if in your lunch break, maybe on Friday, you can go and grab a few beers, then definitely get down and do that. That's really exciting. Some of the other beers that they've got coming in, they're going to have Loose Cannon from the brewery in Abingdon. So nice local breweries there. But their main feature, as I said, is the Camden Town Brewery, who, as well as coming down on Friday, they're going to, I think for the whole festival, have their Black Friday beer, which is a 5.2% black pilsner. So that's quite strong, really, for a beer. So this is the beer festival at the library, starting on Thursday and running till Sunday. They're going to have live music as well, which I don't think has been confirmed yet, but hopefully if the weather's nice, that'll be a really nice thing to go and sit out in the sun with a drink and some food too.
Meanwhile, it's time for some very exciting news. In recent weeks, you might have noticed a test transmission on Channel 8 for That's Oxford. And the new local TV station, That's Oxford, is, according to their Facebook page, going to launch this Friday.
But can we believe them, Emma? Because they've said this before, haven't they? They've said they've been launching
a couple of times, yes, right. But I'm optimistic about this
one. So we're hoping that this is going to be the actual launch of That's Oxford TV station on Friday.
While also launching on Friday is the Folk Weekend.
Yes, Folk Weekend, again this year, is running from Friday until Sunday. We've got an interview with the festival organiser Kat from last year, so you can listen to that on our Oxcast Extra channel as well. Or if you go to our Folk Weekend page for this year, you can see all the events and you can see a transcription of that interview, so you can read a bit about what she said. Or I will tell you now if you want to know. She said last year that there's really something for everything at the Folk Festival, whether you like Kaylee's, whether you like jumping up and down, whether you just want to sit and watch a concert, or go to a family event, or do some craft, or go to a village fete, or see some Morris dancing. There's just all this kind of stuff going on. They've really packed a lot into the weekend, as they do every year. So we thought we'd choose some events, really, just to highlight each of what's going to be going on. But really go and check out our page, because there are so many things. But what event have you highlighted for us, Emma?
I've actually gone for a free family concert at 3:30 on Saturday at the Pitt Rivers Museum by David Gibb. Now, David Gibb has already had his music played on BBC Radios 1, 2, 3, 4 and 6. Mm-hmm. I wonder if he's playing bingo and sort of five on the target. Performed at Glastonbury. He's been nominated for a BBC Radio 2 Folk Award and was also highly commended at the Young Storyteller of the Year in 2011. Sort of accolades. And he'll be performing for free at 3:30 on Saturday at the Pitt Rivers Museum in a family-friendly concert.
Well, I've chosen two things just to briefly mention, couldn't choose. The first is Henry Webster and David Malkin, who are performing at the Old Fire Station on Saturday 6 till 8. And I have to confess that I did choose this because I used to play in a quartet with Henry Webster, so I know that he is a very, very good fiddle player. But this should be a really good gig. I think it's going to be more like stripped back than the stuff they usually do. They have in the past done some stuff with like electronics and things like that, but I think this is not going to have any of that in it. And the other thing that I've chosen is the Makaton singing, which is kind of the special feature of the festival this year. And Makaton is a technique or a communication tool using signs and symbols and different types of speech for children and adults with communication difficulties. So they're going to be using this technique along with traditional folk songs, and then they're going to be sort of singing a folk song by the end of it, basically. And there'll be a performance with a live band on Saturday at 11 a.m. at the Old Fire Station, but it'll be a very relaxed performance. So that's the kind of aim of this day. So that is the Makaton singing. And then the other thing I mentioned was Henry Webster and David Malkin, and you could also go see David Gibb. But of course, there are loads more things going on for Folk Weekend, and that is this Friday to Sunday at various venues around Oxford. But for some even more folk that's going on, I don't know if this is just a coincidence or what, that is happening this week, but there is more folk at the New Theatre on Saturday.
Yep, that's right. This weekend, Saturday evening, Bellowhead are performing at the New Theatre. The 11-piece band, who've been named Best Live Group at the BBC Folk Awards 5 times in a row, play over 20 instruments between them. This year is their 10th anniversary, and the tour will feature both tracks from their new album, Revival, plus old favourites. Tickets are between £22.40 and £28.40, and there are actually very few left. When I checked this morning, there were 4 in the stalls and some in the top circle.
Wow,
or
so get
balcony,
them.
As it's called.
Yep, the top circle.
Yeah, I do technical theatre. It's, you know, the bit above the seats.
Yeah. Get your tickets quickly then, or...
Yeah, we'll have to sit in the bit above the seats. So to recap, that's Bellowhead at the New Theatre on Saturday.
Well, now for something a little bit different on Saturday. Well, quite different, actually. We're moving well away from folk. This is Bypass at the Ultimate Picture Palace. So Bypass is a new film that's coming out by director Dwayne Hopkins. And it's about kind of broken Britain and the overlooked kids of Britain. They'll be showing this film, which is a 15, at the UPP at 3:30 on Saturday. And that'll be followed by a Q&A, I think, with the producer or maybe some of the people who have worked on the film. So we've actually got an interview with the director, Dwayne Hopkins, that Orla conducted last week. So you can hear what he had to say about the film.
Thanks for taking the time to talk to us.
No problem.
I actually saw the film yesterday. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was poetic, but also unbelievably tense to the point of stressful at times. And
yeah, great.
Boy, is Tim having a bad day as well.
Yeah.
Do you want to explain a little bit about the setup of the story and how Tim looks to have just the worst luck in the world?
Well, in terms of kind of the story, of course, because of some of the themes that I wanted to access, you have to, you know, it's a dramatic reality, so you have to kind of condense certain storylines down. And I mean, really, it just came from a huge amount of research. What happened is, normally I always street cast films, you know, so I work with non-actors, and that's kind of what I'd done in the past. This is the first time that I'd actually worked with actors. And when I was casting for my last film, I had an experience of where I was in one area, an old working class area, and I was chatting with one kid there, and I ended up going back to his flat that evening to do an interview with him. And when I got to the flat, he was there with two of his friends, and the flat was pretty much completely bare. There was no bulbs in the light fittings or anything like that. And I ended up talking to him for like 3 hours or so. And at the start, they were very, very guarded. And by the end, they'd completely opened up about all their histories. And of course, it was kind of what you expected. It was a checkered educational history, and they didn't really have stable role models. There was no real employment, which was throughout them growing up or even for their father's generation. And then when I asked them as to what they were going to do later on that night, and the one kid who was kind of like the de facto leader of the three kind of looked at me and he said, well, you know, you're not police, are you? And I said, well, you know, you don't think I'm police because you told me things tonight that you wouldn't tell a policeman. So what are you doing later on? And then they explained to me that they were going to go and do 2 burglaries. They already knew which houses they were going to go and do, and they were just going to steal a car which had already been ordered from a fence in another town about 30 miles away. But then the really shocking thing was that they explained that they actually knew the people that they were going to burgle, and that they knew that these two kids were going to be out at night. They were off somewhere else. So it was at that point that I realized that, okay, all the rules have kind of changed. That anything which I see written about in, you know, liberal media about this problem and this discredited phrase of broken Britain is really completely misleading. And when I started to research it and talk to academics and talk to people who had done a lot of studies, really a lot of it was to do with deindustrialization, basically when we decided to stop making things. After doing that kind of research, I then started doing very practical, on the ground, in the field research. And really what Bypass is a culmination and a combination of different character types that I met, and also different kind of scenarios that I would hear almost consistently repeated through the interviews that I would do. So for example, the idea of the character of Tim is really because that's what I heard a lot. You know, I heard a lot of 17, 18, 19, 20-year-old kids who were the main breadwinner and carer within their family. The first draft that I did, when I read it back, it was like, okay, there's actually the elements of a thriller here. But I think in the original first draft, it was more to do with his illness, that it gave you almost a ticking clock time bomb throughout the narrative. And also, I didn't want to make a film which was just bleak or gritty, which I think are two extremely overused words, especially when it comes to British film, because the problem with those two words is they've been allowed to become pejorative. At the same time as being a thriller, it's a domestic drama. There is elements of ingredients of social realism. It's a ghost story. It's a love story. And then we put that together almost as though it's like a fever dream. One of the main things I get from the film is the juxtaposition between how hard the exterior world is and yet how very honest, moral, and pure his interior world is.
If you want to hear the long cut of this interview, where Dwayne talks to Ulla more about the sound of the film and like different aspects of it, also how he worked with George, who plays Tim, the main character, and more about his upcoming projects as well, including a project that he's working on about a talented violinist from the upper classes of society, so kind of completely opposite of this film, then you can listen to the long cut on our Oxcast Extra. But I should warn you, there are some spoilers about the end of the film in there. So if you're planning on going to the UPP to watch Bypass and for the Q&A on Saturday at 3:30, then maybe go and see that first and then listen to the long cut. So if you want to hear any more about these events, then you can look at the What's On section of our website,
where you can also find cinema listings for all of the different independents and chains in Oxford.
And if you want to find a place to live or things to buy or just anything, a pet you might want, then have a look at our website for that as well. Now let's move on to another event. This is an exhibition called Plimsoll at the Jam Factory. It opened on Monday, and it's going to be running until the 27th, so for a couple of weeks. I think there's some like different openings and things that you can go to if you want to see this. Otherwise, you can just wander in opening hours. It's in the boiler room of the Jam Factory, and it's by the artist Hannah Edward, who is a really talented local artist who then went to uni in Edinburgh and is back with this exhibition. And it's based around landscapes, so it's kind of drawings and found images turned into collages, but kind of looking at the like limitations of 2D images, like photography. So landscapes always typically have like a horizon that gives you the kind of three-dimensional perspective, but they're always like a two-dimensional images. So I think she's kind of playing with those ideas, putting other things onto the images to kind of draw out those like dimensions or things like that. So it should be really interesting. And that's running, as I said, for a couple of weeks. It's free if you want to go along. It's called Plimsoll at the Jam Factory in the Boiler Rooms.
Meanwhile, if you want to make the most of this lovely sunny weather, this Saturday, between 10 and 4 p.m, there's a chance to try out some Venetian rowing. So for those of you like me who don't know what Venetian rowing is, it was described as a bit like punting, except you do it in the oar and you stand at the front of a boat. So not really like punting at all then. So the session will be between 10 a.m. and 4 p.m. by the towpath at Longbridge's. There'll be tea, scones, and the chance to try rowing standing up.
There is an advert for the Venetian rowing on our site if you want to have a look. There's some quite amusing pictures. It looks like one has been taken in Venice and then one maybe in Oxford or London or somewhere that just doesn't look as nice. But anyway, be optimistic. Give the weather a go. That's what we like to do, Brits, don't we? So give Venetian rowing a go on Saturday. As we know, the election is coming up and there's been lots of these kind of political plays and political comedy shows and things that we've mentioned in the last couple of weeks. So I've got another one for you coming up next week on Tuesday. This is Rock and Roll Politics with Steve Richards at the Chipping Norton Theatre on Tuesday at 7:45 p.m. It costs £14. So Steve Richards is the Independent's chief political commentator, and he was previously a political editor at the New Statesman. He also presents Radio 4's Week in Westminster. So he's very clued up and he's going to be giving like a lowdown on his thoughts in a hopefully very humorous and engaging way.
And probably worth mentioning that I think the 20th of April is the last date that you can register for a vote.
Right, okay, yes. So remember to do that as well. This show will be touring around the country, so catch it while it's in Oxfordshire, because I think it's going to be very popular. So this is Rock and Roll Politics with Steve Richards at the Chipping Norton Theatre on Tuesday.
And to end the podcast this week, we've got a quick update on the Cowley Road Carnival. Now, the actual carnival is still a while away, on the 5th of July, but it's just won a Buy Box Award for the Best Community Project at the Oxfordshire Charity and Volunteer Awards.
Very nice.
There are also a couple of fundraisers coming up.
We're going to be mentioning fundraisers in the upcoming podcast, so listen out for that. But yes, Calliope Carnival, which happens every year, things are in motion.
The wheels are turning.
The wheels are turning. So look out for more information on our site and in our podcast.
You can also follow us on Twitter at Daily Info Oxford, or find us on Facebook at Daily Info Oxford.
And now, just to play us out, we've got the rest of the track, One for the Road by Small and Gold.
For the road, for the song, for the path I'm travelling on, for the pace of my bare feet and the stars under which I'll sleep, for that rhythm in my lungs, for the amber evening sun, for the places I ain't been yet and the place from which I've come. So gesture, you're changing my direction. I really can't see why I turn it down. But my matches are all damp and my whiskey jar's run dry, and gotta make my bed beneath that cold and heartless sky. I'll muster what I can from the pockets of my clothes, and lean and tell the barman, give us one more for the road. Song, for the path I'm travelling on, for the pace of my bare feet and the stars under which I'll sleep, for that rhythm in my lungs, for the amber evening sun, for the places I ain't been yet and the place from which I've come. And I'm taking lots of care to snip off. I'll sleep for that rhythm in my lungs, for the amber evening sun, for the places I ain't been yet and the place from which I've come. So once again, my strange old friend, it's you and I here at the end of a night where ours fell like dominoes, and the sky outside is I'll sleep for that rhythm in my lungs, for the amber evening sun, for the places I ain't been yet and the place from which I've come.